Ah, mmm. The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Like something very strange.
Do you want the ice cream beer again?
No, I had the ice cream beer already. And I had
That's really like a sorbet beer.
Yeah, it's all red one.
Oh, boy.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into the DMVR Nuggets podcast.
Let's go, people.
Live from the Breckenridge Brewery Farmhouse here in Littleton or Centennial. I don't really know the difference.
It's definitely Littleton.
This is Littleton, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the difference is that
you're not from
Littleton.
These parts.
Yeah, Adam, stay up north, please.
I'm going to stay in Cumber City. More comfortable up there. We're live here, by the way, Breckenridge Brewery Farmhouse. They have incredible food here.
Yeah.
I would say.
I've been here like a year ago or whatever it was the last time we came here. Then I came here this time and I was like, I remember they had good food. Then I ordered it. Unbelievable.
What'd you order?
It's called the special. It's off menu. Ridiculed for my decision to ask the chef.
Okay.
I asked the chef
peanut butter and jelly,
off menu
it?
For something. No, and it was absolutely fantastic. I almost said fantabulous. We've been drinking beer, guys.
I had the fish and chips. It was on menu.
Is that
it was also
guys?
Great.
You guys have been drinking beer? Is that what's happening?
Bro, they came down here and they're like, you know what? They just want to, they want to give you guys some food. They want to give you some beer. And then next thing you know, here it is Friday and we've just been drinking all day.
So let me just summarize what's about to happen to us.
Okay.
We have a very big matchup between Jokic and Embiid.
Yep,
that's what
the
thumbnail is talking all about.
Yep.
People are going to be interested in this matchup.
Yep.
They're going to come and find us blathering drunk at Breckenridge Brewery making no sense. All right, well, listen. If it's your first time here, we're very sorry. We're sorry we won't see you again, but just stick with us, please.
I'll bet you the only people that are going to be upset about that, Eric, is people from Philadelphia.
It's possible.
You know, they're upset about everything.
They're like,
Adam.
I want the Denver perspective on this. I can't believe these guys are having fun.
Yeah.
That's probably what they'll say. I got the squad with me over here. I got Brendan Vogt, who's trying to be serious.
No, does anyone else feel like Adam's kind of yelling, or is that just my headphones? Live troubleshooting.
I think that's kind of like, that's kind of...
Am I coming in hot there,
No,
Kale?
You sound fine, I think. I think Vogt just might be right next to you is the thing.
Yeah, I'm just a little sensitive. Hey, everyone.
And then over here, I got D-Line. Hey, like me, D-Line, you put on a little flannel to come to the farmhouse.
Oh, that's right. Okay. That's right. This is the new me. I'm transitioning into a mountain man, and then a man that lives in the mountains, and then a hermit, and then I'll never see you again. Let's go.
I can't wait for it. My first car, 1984 Dodge Rampage, I called it the Hermit because it looked like a car you would live in if you were trying to escape society.
If you still got it around, I'll happily take a look.
Hey, will you Google a 1984 Dodge Rampage and with a camper van on the top? Over here, I got Harrison Wind.
I will never wear a flannel on this show.
You've said that multiple times.
That was only once. This is the second time I'm saying it.
We're from Boulder.
I am. If you didn't know.
I feel like we need to dig into this afterwards. But
I don't want to wear one because I don't want to clash with you guys.
I think that you actually
only two flannels on the show at a time, max.
That's a great point.
Despite the general vibe of the show and the intro part here, we actually do have a lot of stuff to talk about. All-Star Starters came out yesterday, guys. Not really too many surprises, although I would say one. You know how, like, you're prepared for something and then it happens and you're, like, surprised? And you're like, well, I was prepared for that. Why am I still surprised? Still happened. We're going to talk about that in the All-Star results. We're also going to talk about what's the perfect Jokic All-Star game, which is on the table. I'm so excited that Jokic might have a breakout All-Star year. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and tell you a preview. I might be predicting it. A Jokic breakout All-Star performance.
Oh, my God.
Man. We'll talk about this every year.
But this year we're right about it, or I'm right about it. We're going to talk about the 76ers game. We're going to spend a lot of time on that. I mean, I'm telling you, man, I have not been nervous all year. I'm nervous now because of a big game coming up. And then later on in the show, we're going to be joined by a brewmaster himself who explains the new Mile High City
Golden Ale.
Golden Ale, thank
the
you.
Golden
as well,
Ale.
As well as give us a couple other different beers here that you can get at the farmhouse and nowhere else.
He maybe already gave them to us in your mouth
He might have already done that. But we start today with our first story, not our top story, but our first story, which is the All-Stars have been announced. Kale, if you find a graphic for those, I know the NBA put it out. You can post those on. With the Western Conference, our guards are Steph Curry and Luka Doncic, no surprise. LeBron James, Nikola Jokic, and Zion Williamson gets in. Zion Williamson. He only played, what was it, 23 games or something like that?
I'm partially culpable for this. I voted for him early on, and then he got hurt again. But I'd already voted.
You're one of the voters?
Oh, the fan vote. The
You're part of the fan vote. Yeah, of course.
Part of the fan
vote. Of course, sorry.
Yeah, of course he gets a fan vote. But in all sincerity, it is interesting whenever you look at the player rank, the fan rank, and the media rank. He, Zion, actually won the player rank. He got number 3. Jokic and LeBron went 1-2. In fact, Jokic went number 1, which is, we'll get to that here in a second. But Zion going 3, he only went 4 in the fan vote. It is interesting to me because the guy that would go over him to me, correct me if I'm wrong, Wind, it would be Domantas Sabonis. I don't know if it would be Lauri Markkanen based on how they fell off, but the only guy that I think you could look at and say, well, hey, he's had a better season is Domantas Sabonis. But I'm not surprised he didn't get the nod.
Yeah, I think it should have been Sabonis. A lot of people were trying to make the case for Anthony Davis.
No, they were not.
Yeah, a lot of people were.
How?
Because he's Anthony Davis? I don't know. Because when he's played, he's been good.
He hasn't
really played.
Yeah.
I think it should have been Sabonis. Zion's had a good year, but yeah, he's barely played. All-Star's always so funny because it's only half a season, you know? But for a lot of these guys, it's like a quarter of the season.
Right.
Because that's really all the games that have been played.
It's
just a funny thing to think about. But yeah, I would have gone Sabonis.
Are you put off by this?
I would have gone Sabonis as well, I think. First of all, we've kind of touched on this in the show before. There's plenty to enjoy as a Nuggets fan about the way the Kings go about their business right now. I think if you had to find a Nuggets light, even more so than the kind of forced Houston connection, I really think it's Sacramento, Fox and Sabonis. Sabonis is a big part of what is right now the most prolific offense. And I think, you know, this Kings team has been not just a fun story, but a genuinely good team. And I thought that would have been a nice, to have a representative starting there.
Plus,
like
Sabonis missed time at all?
No.
Right. Like, didn't we spend all the last 2 years saying the best ability is availability?
Yeah. The only reason why Sabonis didn't get it is because of the fan vote.
It turns out the best ability is getting into the paint.
Best ability is winning the fan vote.
Turns out the best ability is shooting 90%.
Sabonis was third in the media voting, so that's would have given him the third spot. And then he was 5th in the player voting. But then 9th in the fan voting, which is 50%. So that's why he missed out.
I'm interested most in the players that have a wide discrepancy between the three heads, right? Like, you would think there's harmony. Like, if you look at Jokic, he came in first in the player ranking, first in the media ranking, second in the fan meeting, and then LeBron just invert those, right? And it's like, okay, that makes sense. Everybody seems to be in accord. But there's a few players, and Sabonis is one of those ones where he seems to be on a wide range of outcomes based on who it is you're asking. The media really loved him 3rd. Players 5, which is pretty high.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about Zion. Have we gone too far? This is a question I'm asking this sincerely. It sounds like I'm trolling. Have we gone too far and we're overthinking this? Zion is better than Sabonis.
Well, the other thing, too, is it's an all-star exhibition game. And
that's the but the problem is that it's meaningless, but it's also meaningful. It's like something that people use to say whether or not you're worthy of honor late in life. It's like if you made all-star games. It is very silly at this point. But, I mean, yes, this is different because it's not an MVP. Like, there is no real, like, rationale for what you think an all-star is.
I think there should be, though. It's like, but who's the best players given and factoring in the amount of time they played?
Right. This is sort of like saying, like, who does the NBA want the fans to see play? Who do the fans want to see play?
Well, Zion is a better answer in this context than Sabonis. Yeah. But as far as who's earned it, I would say Sabonis.
But let's go. This is the more interesting thing, and this is the Nugget Show, and this is what people want to know. Jokic, number 1 in the player rank.
What?
LeBron James, number 2 in the player rank. Media, I'm not surprised. No, Jokic is, but let's be honest, guys. We got to call this a spade. He's won 2 MVPs. He's a media darling when it comes to, like, appreciating what he does. Now, it took a long time to get there, but now we're here.
Number 1 in the player vote?
But the players, Eric, gave him number 1 over LeBron James.
Oh, I'm smiling through it all. I can't believe this is my life. Can you believe it? Holy smokes, dude. No one gives Jokic. I thought that was, like, the common refrain we'd hear any time we, like, asked players across the league if Jokic gets the respect.
What do you make of this, though? I'm telling you, so
it's unreal, dude.
220 players voted Jokic number one. 193 voted LeBron number one. So it's close, but still.
Giannis also got 220 from the players. So Jokic and Giannis were unanimous from the players.
Not, wow. That's not unanimous, though.
It's not?
No, I mean, I think there's like 400 players in the NBA, or around 400.
I've got to think 220 is the unanimous if they both got it. Exactly.
I don't know.
Okay.
But I do think. I do think
all right.
I do think the Jokic thing is changing, you know. And also part of it is that the guard is changing in the NBA. I think the last cream of the crop class was a little slow to Jokic and really just the next wave in general, maybe because there was a lot of international guys. That's debatable. But this new wave of players, I think. Like, if you're a young player in the league, Jokic has won the last two MVPs.
Yeah, he's dope as hell.
And you're not on Twitter as much as we are. And, like, that is... Like, that stuff speaks for itself. And then, you know, the Larry Nance clip, I don't know if you guys have seen that's gone around from his one player podcast interview where he called that second half in New Orleans the best performance he's ever seen, he's ever been on the court to see. And so, you know, I think as more guys like Nick Wright launch onto Jokic to hate as a brand, you know what I mean? You're actually seeing more and more players of this next generation that are like, no argument for me. This guy is the man.
Yeah, they're like, let me see who I want to align myself with.
Right. Who do you, like, I know what it's like to guard this dude, and it's impossible.
The other note that's interesting from here is that Aaron Gordon did get some votes. He came in 9th in the media vote, which is the best he came in, which is pretty high. He came in 15th in the fan vote. He got 243,000, which there were players below him. Thomas, mainly Lakers players and Warriors players, like Kevon Looney got more than him. Fan vote, I guess so we could throw stupid. Out. But in the player ranking, he came in 17th, which is high, I guess.
Yeah, I would think higher.
Like, Christian Wood came in significantly higher than Aaron Gordon did.
Steven Adams came in 10th in the player ranking.
Are we sure? No, I think Christian Wood did. Oh, Steven Adams is tied. Oh, yeah, they tied. Interesting.
Mikal Bridges, 12.
Is Aaron Gordon, I mean, when this is, so you've looked at this, is Aaron Gordon getting snubbed a little here?
Yeah, I just think because you just got to watch Aaron Gordon every night to really understand why he's been so good this year. Like, his stats don't pop off the page. If you just look at, like, league leaders and points, you know, even if you look at, like, the Nugget stats, his numbers don't pop off the page, but you've really just got to watch him every single night to understand how good and how valuable he is.
That's a great point.
That's so true. But this is the really all we're talking about is the player. Like, the media not voting him, they only vote three players. So, of course, he didn't come in top three. That's not a surprise. But the fact that he didn't amongst the players, I don't know. To me, it's a little surprising.
But I think that they probably value scoring. There's things that they like probably value that don't pop off the page.
Players ahead of him, Rudy Gobert.
But then maybe they look at him as like defensive stalwart.
Do they?
Well, you have to understand, again, like, our version of the world is quite warped. Like, we see Nikola Jokic, who just undresses Rudy Gobert every time they play, but not everybody sees Rudy Gobert.
Oh, no, I think players see Rudy Gobert as, like, this, like, why is he so respected defensively? But let me give you another name here, Eric, that I'm kind of curious. He comes in well below Mikal Bridges, who was 12th. Aren't they the same type of player, high-value role players?
And you're saying this is from the players, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, then you wonder if, like, maybe AG sucks to play against. Maybe they don't like him. Like, I don't know. I mean,
I think it's just Mikal Bridges made the finals 2 years ago. Aaron Gordon hasn't been past the second round in Denver.
And listen, man, I think this is where you see things like all the little complaints we've had about the oversights from ownership and whomever about this team and how accessible it is between seeing them on TV, just feeling them around Denver, murals, advertisements, whatever. Like, the Denver Nuggets fan base is small. The ones who would be committed and go online and
But that's why I clarify that it's the players. Like, the players are not Denver Nuggets fans at all.
No, I understand, but what I'm saying is I'm thinking of the way that Wiggins got in.
And oh,
what
yeah,
I'm saying
for sure.
is that if Gordon had the state of California.
Wiggins got in because a K-pop star retweeted a tweet. That's actually the only reason he got in.
Hey, Serbia did not come through for Aaron Gordon, man. I hate to say
that
it.
That is true.
But it's true, man. I will say, you know who he tied?
That's why he got in.
Do you know? It. Yeah, it's actually. You know who did he come through from? Colorado. Colorado did not come through from.
Comcast.
He's tied with Dylan Brooks, which I feel like is Minnesota's Aaron Gordon.
Wow. Dylan Brooks is more...
You mean Memphis, yeah?
Or Memphis. What did I say?
Minnesota.
Yeah, Dylan Brooks is just like more... Like, Aaron Gordon, to Wynn's point, has not been super visible outside of that soul acquiring dunk on Christmas. Like, he's not, like, popping off online. Dylan Brooks has made himself very visible. Like, he's fighting with Shannon Sharp. He's,
maybe that's why he's high in this voting.
That's what I mean. Like, he's saying LeBron is average. Like, he's advertising himself.
This is a great point.
And so, like, you're like, yeah, I guess, like, whatever. Like, I mean, you're not voting him in, but you're like, okay, whatever.
Look, Minnesota has really made a name for the – part of my Minnesota pushback, because I'm not the biggest believer in – or, I'm sorry, Memphis. I'm not the biggest believer in Memphis, but part of it is because I do feel like they just are, like, too into their own marketing. You know what I mean?
I've been saying this all year, man.
Like, are they overrated, or is it just like I'm counteracting the way they're trying to make themselves overrated?
No, let me tell you, man. Like, the louder you start barking when you haven't accomplished anything, you're trying to scare people off. Like, it's a weird tactic. I'm telling you. Like, the Suns did this. Like, when you start to puff your feathers up, as opposed to going in and just being like, all right, like, let's fight. When you have to be like, coming out, you have like a little dance every time. You do the points bet dance every time you come out.
You, like, really hate these guys.
I hate it, dude. I watched the Suns do this last year, and it incensed me. And I'm like, you got to do something first.
I think for the Grizzlies, it's just a team taking on the personality of their best player, and this is who Ja is.
Totally.
Yeah.
And I think
I agree with that.
Much easier for guys Dylan and Bane to lean into it and all that. But I will, like, I don't know, man. If the Nuggets win with this version of Aaron Gordon, these scenarios for Aaron Gordon will be different for the rest of his career, in my opinion.
Yeah. Totally.
Like, he'll get the sort of winning stamp you give to, like, a Drew Holiday or a Wiggins last year.
If the Nuggets win the NBA championship this season, Jamal Murray and Aaron Gordon will probably be all-stars next year.
Yeah. Right. I would agree. 1,000%. This is always a one-year wave.
Totally.
This is Monty Williams didn't get coach of the year until the next year when he didn't actually deserve it.
Right. But you know what, though? It's also proof that Jokic this year, unanimous. Like, everybody's on.
There is, though, one media person did not vote Nikola Jokic as a starter. He got 99 media votes.
Wow. Who do you think it is? Because you're giving.
I need a list of voters. Give me a list and I'll tell you exactly who it is. But I need a list.
Do you think that guy? And we know media, like, especially the type of media that vote on these types of things. They're a lot like. I mean, like, they're more the Kisla mold, I would say, than anything else. Do you think that guy is, like, proud?
He's like that Hall of Fame voter that left his ballot blank.
Yeah.
I'm going to be that guy.
Just like.
No, I'll bet you it's someone who's like, I'll bet nobody's voting for you this year.
It's definitely somebody from their New England area.
It's Howard Eskin, right? That's Spike's dad. Does he vote?
I don't know if he has a vote or not. All right, let's take a break. There's more to break down in this All-Star voting that I think is interesting. Boy. As we get into some of the other names, including one, Joel Embiid. We'll do that in segment two.
Guys, Backus and Shanker. When you get hurt, Backus and Shanker is to help. Backus and Shanker wins for Colorado families. They've been helping those who are seriously injured in Colorado for more than 25 years. And the coolest part about Backus and Shanker, you don't pay anything until they win your case. Then you pay them after they win your case. Then you give them some money. But they don't charge any fees while they work on your case. You don't pay them until they win. Backus and Shanker has won over $1 billion for their clients. They now serve all of Colorado, including neighborhood offices in Denver, Aurora, Englewood, and Fort Collins. They've got the strength and power to win your case with more than 30 lawyers and 100 staff. Backus and Shanker helps with all kinds of injury cases where you weren't at fault. Car accidents, motorcycle, rideshare, pedestrians, trucks. They can even help you if you're injured at work. Call us, 222-2222. Easiest number in the world.
Yes.
222-2222 to find out if you have a case for free. Backus and Shanker wins.
And just quickly, I just feel like they're kind of in a weird way doing the Lord's work. Backus and Shanker.
Are they?
We spend all of our time watching television. We're presented with flow and cute little geckos and all of these.
Man, this
wildly,
is a great take.
All these wildly expensive marketing campaigns that they pump millions, millions of dollars into. It's the only industry, the insurance industry, you are legally required to pay into. And then they spend all of their money on flow. And then when you actually need it, they don't pay out. You have to get a lawyer involved. So, good. Backus and Shaker should fight that. I can't stand that.
My Amen. God.
Amen. I love it. I love it.
Guys, at Illegal Pete's, maybe you have a New Year's resolution, like you want to eat better. Maybe you have a new diet. Well, Illegal Pete's has what you need. They have an endless amount of fresh ingredients that can fit almost any diet or dietary restriction. It's a no-brainer. Eat Pete's for the health of it. Check out any of their 10 Colorado locations for happy hour, 3 to 6 p.m. every single day. No happy hours for you this month. That's cool. They've got a lot of different options at all their locations. Check out Illegal Pete's. It's our go-to spot for burritos, buddies, and beer. Yeah. We got one right by the office that we're always at. Again, happy hour, 3 to 6 p.m. every day at all their locations. Check out Illegal Pete's.
Well, what would you say you go there most for? For me, it's the buddies.
It's the buddies for sure. Buddies.
Queso.
Burritos.
Burritos. Queso. Beer.
Well, it's burritos, margaritas. Buddies, and beer. I go for the buddies.
Margaritas maybe above beer.
All right, we're back here, segment two, and now we're talking more about these all-star vote early returns. If we go over to the Eastern Conference, which I thought had a more interesting vote breakdown, we go to the guards. Everything's kind of normal over here. You guys know Kyrie Irving. First of all, Kyrie Irving's an interesting one. Number one in the player rank. Number one. Is that crazy?
He's a great player. He's also
a hooper.
He is... is he a player representative?
Yeah, he's like a VP.
All right. Fan vote number one, media vote number four. He's like one of these guys that's a major outlier. Then Donovan Mitchell, two, and then one is the media. Media loved him a little bit more. I feel like there's no surprises there. Jaylen Brown, James Harden, Tyrese Halliburton all likely to get in.
I mean, the East is just kind of weak in the guard
but
area.
That's like that seems right. Like everybody that got voted a starter feels correct, I think, except for Zion Williamson, but I know like the Embiid thing is confusing, right?
It is confusing. But now let's go to the front court where it gets really interesting. Giannis by the players was rated number one. By the fans, he was rated number one. By the media, he was rated number two, which I feel like is the media just trying. The media really hates players resting or missing games for whatever reason. They really, really miss that. As evidenced by Jokic somehow becoming the face of load management. You guys, we haven't even talked about this, but Richard Jefferson's
rant. Can we spend a
whole
segment on that,
We could, but I'll just go really quickly. Richard Jefferson, I honestly believe this. Richard Jefferson, I think, has something about Jokic that he has, like, an agenda against. And I don't know if it's the LeBron, like, you know, he's a LeBron guy, so he's got to do the LeBron bidding or what have you.
I don't know if Jokic played a practical joke on him in the locker room in 2017.
Did Jokic put popcorn in his car?
It's possible. But Jokic
doesn't like horses. I don't know.
Do you guys know there's only one player in the NBA who's played more games than Nikola Jokic over the last five seasons? And then, by the way, if you shorten this to two,
Richard
three,
Jefferson?
Four, it's almost the same. No. Oh. Do anybody know who it is?
Yeah, I do.
Mikal Bridges.
Really?
Which makes sense because he went deeper in the playoffs, right? But that's the only reason. Like, Jokic does not rest. He does not miss games. He does not, you know, whatever, knock on wood. And so the fact that he missed one game while dealing with a hamstring and then all of a sudden...
On a back-to-back, back-to-back while injured.
Richard Jefferson almost cried. I'm telling you, I give him this. I'm going in on him. I should have tagged him if I was going to go in on him. I kind of feel bad for doing it. Maybe I'll tag him afterwards so he can clap back. He, like, gave a whole sob story about why load management is bad. And can I tell you something? Great. Great take.
Couldn't agree. Yeah.
Couldn't agree
load
more.
Load management sucks.
But for some reason, it was a Jokic take when he was like, Jokic, just why not play against him? Like, why not do that? As if it was him. The guy who has least load managed over the last, his entire career.
The guy, you mean the guy that literally walks around with open wounds on his arms all the time?
Look, man.
And they have, like, sad – you know how, like, when you do a montage and you try – it's, like, a sad one. You put sad images of Jokic on the bench. And like, there's all these
Richard
sad
Jefferson
B-roll.
He's in that leather jacket and turtleneck combo.
Dude, that speech, honest to God, was, like, impassioned. It was, when I was coming up, I'd scrape together every penny to be able to sneak into the arena
to
watch my –
Why did he make that speech, like, the day after Jokic didn't play in that game?
Why did he do that?
Was he sitting on that speech for the whole season?
Hold on a second. Is he not covering – is he not in Los Angeles? Are we not – doing this with the Lakers and Anthony Davis and LeBron James. And, oh, by the way, the Clippers, don't they have players that just don't play and nobody knows what's going on with them?
It
Jokic
was interesting
misses one game.
Timing, I will say.
One game.
Interesting timing for that sob
what
story.
What is going on
the
in
RJ
Los
stuff
Angeles?
Look, man, every Denver take he's had has sounded a little bitter. And I maintain my biggest theory is that he's probably the least respected veteran to come through there in the last 5 years. Never hear one person compliment him. Not once.
It's actually this is a great take. You're right. I think Richard Jefferson comes from like very fun teams. What does he say about the Denver team he came to?
They were quiet.
Most boring team. I think he had the worst year of his life. I think Richard Jefferson.
No one thought he was funny.
Yeah.
No one liked his jokes.
I can relate.
He came into a group of guys that just weren't like into that shit, and he was like, "Man, I thought I was going to be Jared Dudley, do this for 9 years, or I'm just the Wiley vet." And he's like, up, "This is boring as hell."
He's like, "Hey guys, you ever seen this?" You're like, what? He's like, I don't understand. The crazy thing is that he's literally Josh Kroenke's friend.
They were having a great time.
He was like, "I'm coming here to hang out with Josh," but then Josh was never around. He's like, "Shit."
Or he like pops in. He's like, "Hey, what's up, guys? Josh said I could have as many of these Capri Suns as I wanted," and like nobody, everyone's like kind of weird to him about it.
Wait, why did Richard get the number one parking spot?
Anyway,
him going after Jokic to me was so lame. And like again, he has a good point. It's just
he has a great
point. Don't tell me it was accidental that he's. I just happened to bring it up this time. Like right. I just happened to bring it up. Like Jokic play versus Giannis. What are you doing resting? Oh my god, it was so annoying. So disingenuous.
Yeah,
and I don't mind telling him it was disingenuous. All right. Anyway, Giannis gets number one. Kevin Durant gets number two. He got, by the way, the Kevin Durant media vote number four. Kind of interesting. Like
he's missed time.
He hasn't missed that much time. The media just doesn't like Brooklyn, and it's fine.
The media also just counts. They weigh players missing games more than everybody else.
Yeah, like, except for Richard Jefferson.
Well, he's part of the media.
He weighs it a lot. And then you have Jason Tatum, who has, I know you're going to love this, the weirdest breakdown of all. Amongst players, he's fourth behind Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
Amongst fans, he is fourth behind Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
Amongst media, though, he is number one. Number one ahead of Giannis.
I'll tell you why.
We were having an argument, by the way. I'm taking you behind the scenes. We were having an argument.
Yeah.
D-Lane was on the side of Jason Tatum here. We were trying to say, this MFer, it's not that we think he sucks.
Right.
It's that somehow he leapfrogged Kevin Durant and Giannis and Jokic and all these other guys. Mm-hmm. And this is the breakdown. Players are like, he's good, not great. And media's like, he's number one.
A moment to retort.
Go ahead. I'm just explaining.
What we were arguing about was that I said that you think that Brendan should go further in on his Tatum hate. And I say, I think we're at the right amount, because at a certain point, we're going to be like, this guy sucks. And then we're like, oh, he's actually pretty good. He's just not as good as...
You're worried about the consequences.
Don't ever tell me about the consequences.
We're less worried.
I don't have the blind hatred towards Boston that Vogt does. I didn't grow up in the Northeast. I think he's a little overrated. I don't feel like Boston gets as much shine up there as Vogt does, but that's a New Jersey Boston.
You did
thing.
Actually. We did crack this code. You have a soft spot for Boston.
He likes
that's
Boston.
All it is. You see the bias. You see the bullshit, and you're like, yeah, but you know what? I had a good time there.
Well, if he wins MVP, I'll go nuclear.
What about if he just takes Joel Embiid's spot in the starting lineup?
Fine. Fine by me.
They're a half game behind them in the standings, and everyone's like, well, it's because Tatum's carried them through. No, he has not. He's been a good player on a great team.
I agree. He's not as good as Cole. He's just not as good as they want him to be, but he's still good.
Is he better than Joel Embiid? Are you more afraid of him or Joel Embiid?
I am more afraid of Joel Embiid, for sure, yeah.
Well, then you're on the side of everybody else besides the media that stems from Boston.
There's a disproportionate amount of media that gets selected to vote on these things that live in the Boston area / work for the Ringer.
Here's a quote from Daryl Morey.
Daryl Morey, by the way, he's going to ruin me. I'm going to go to D-Line's side after this quote, I promise.
I know, but hang on. You're going to be surprised where I land on this. Joel Embiid completely hosed once again.
Yeah.
Morey went on specifically to point out the shameless Boston media being way overrepresented. You know what? He's right.
He is right. But the actual reason why Jason Tatum missed out was because he was fourth in the players.
Embiid.
Embiid.
He was third. Or, yeah, Embiid. He was actually fourth by the fans, Embiid was.
Yeah, by the fans. So actually, we should blame Philly. Not a very good fan base.
Right. They should have had more fan votes.
Well, maybe Kale's some of them were. They were swung by Dr. J endorsing Jokic. You never know. You never know.
Your mic is messed up, Adam.
Mine is? Can you not hear me?
Oh, vote.
Your mic. Oh, votes messed. All right. Anyway, my point is, Joel Embiid is snubbed. I actually think he is number two in the MVP conversation right now behind Jokic. And by the way,
absolutely,
if Philadelphia wins on Saturday, and if Embiid outplays Jokic, to me, I think that that line should get way tighter. Does it erase everything that happened in the first 45 games of the year? No. But I think that it's one of those ones where he's close enough that, to me, this game carries a little bit of weight.
I am nervous for this game. I've stated many times, I actually feel this way, but I find myself getting swept up a little bit. I don't care if Jokic wins the MVP.
Right.
I already know how good of a player Jokic is. I feel like Jokic is getting a little bit of like early front runner stuff, like we saw with Embiid last year, and that people will get tired of it by the end. They want to like mix it up to make it more fun. So I don't love that it's like, oh, it's a landslide for Jokic right now.
Right.
I think it could pretty easily flip because it just like the public sentiment and all sentiment in general it blows like the wind, does it not?
It does. But the thing is it's blown really hard against Embiid for some reason.
But not in the if you'll notice the last week or so, I'm starting to see like a lot of sympathetic Embiid posts.
It's
like,
because Embiid should have been higher in this MVP ladder the whole year.
He's been amazing.
Yeah, he's been great. Been I agree. I think he's number two also.
Me too.
And I think if the 76ers beat the Nuggets and Embiid definitely outplays Jokic, I think we're going to hear that Joel Embiid should be the front runner.
I think we're going to get whiplash from how hard this like Jokic momentum gets pushed back.
And you know what?
It's fine.
It's fine. It is what it is. Like, if he dominates Jokic, he should get that crown.
I agree. 100%. This is my whole thing with Jokic is people that try to go back the last 2 years and say, like, oh, what happened didn't really happen. I'm not for that. But people that are like, hey, now he's got to prove it, I'm with it. Like, now you do have your healthy roster. You do need to go out there and make these marquee games important. And by the way, they're important for both teams. This is a matchup between the second and the third best teams in the NBA. I think it's going to matter a lot. But I do think it's interesting that Joel Embiid is coming to this game with a righteous chip on his shoulder.
Some righteous indignation. I love that there is a game that I am this hyped for this early in the year. This feels like playoffs.
I am hyped, man.
But you've buried the lead, of course, that Joel Embiid appeared on the injury report today. He is questionable for tomorrow.
He'll be playing.
Do you guys
want
to see? Hey, quick injury report update. Michael Porter Jr. off the injury report.
He's with the team. He's with the team. Mike Singer reported.
Jokic is probable, which I would say is probably a good sign this far.
They put him on there because they got so much pushback for him resting that they want to be like, hey, just so you know, it's a real injury. That's why they did it. Let's take a break. On the other side, we've got a special guest from Breckenridge Brewery who I think is going to get us a little bit more drunk. Based on the beers that I've seen in front of me, I have a feeling we're going to be more drunk at the end of the next segment than we are at the start of it.
Guys, at DraftKings Sportsbook, take your shot at turning buckets into big cash with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. They're my go-to for hoops action. And after this read, I'm going to throw in a DraftKings pick of the week, so stay tuned for that. Right now, new customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in free bets instantly, win or lose. Looking for an even bigger payout? Take a shot at our Friday night favorites. All you have to do is go to the DraftKings Sportsbook app, opt in, place a select two-leg pregame money line. Is everything okay over there?
No. Adam's making a disaster.
Place a select two-leg pregame moneyline parlay. You'll get a 50% profit boost. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Sign up with code DNVR. New customers bet $5 on the NBA. Get $200 in free bets instantly. That's code DNVR only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. And I am going to throw out a DraftKings Sportsbook pick of the week. And the line is not up for the game.
You want to be like Dev or the Broncos show earlier and anoint Patrick Mahomes the greatest quarterback?
No, I was going to pick the Nuggets game tomorrow, but the line is not even out yet. It doesn't matter. Nuggets money line. What do you think the line will be tomorrow?
I think it'll be Philly minus one, minus maybe two or three.
Yeah, I'll take Nuggets money line. So that's a DraftKings Sportsbook pick of the week. Guys, at Pins and Aces, you can use the code DNVR to get 15% off your first order and get free shipping. Pinsandaces.com. They've got golf apparel. They've got polos, hats, golf bags. They got the beer sleeve that keeps seven beers cold inside your golf bag for the entire round. They are the official golf apparel partner of DNVR. Check out pinsandaces.com. Use the code DNVR to get 15% off your first order and get free shipping.
We back?
Yep.
Brendan Vaughn has changed dramatically.
He has. He's aged. Oh, my God. Guys, we are welcome
Grew
now
a beard.
By a very special guest from Breckenridge Brewery here to walk us through a couple of beers. It's my guy, Tebow. Tebow, thank you for joining
us. Yeah, congrats on that
beer. Hey, guys, it's also a pleasure. Yeah. Thanks for coming to the farmhouse.
Of course.
Yeah, I didn't have to travel very far, just across the parking lot.
Heck yeah.
We love it here. Always get interesting beers. Great food.
I love it here, too.
That's why you come every day. Tell us real quick, what it is you do here with Breckenridge Brewery?
That's the question that a lot of people ask. I'm lucky enough, this is my 27th year with Breckenridge Brewery. I was one of our very first sales reps, our marketing director for a long time. So clearly I was able to kind of carve out what I want to do. So I do all the fun stuff in beer. So I run all our concerts here on site,
nice.
All of our education, community outreach, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, anything that's really fun in beer, like sitting down with you guys, that's what I do.
Yeah, nice. I saw our man in the parking lot, and I came up behind him. We met at the beer reveal party.
Right.
At
right.
Yep.
And I was like,
a couple Fridays ago.
I was like, you're the vibe master, right?
He's like, yeah, he renamed me.
He's
I got a new
vibe
title.
Master, yes.
Yeah, my title now is I call myself the Culture Czar, but Vibe Master.
Culture Czar, yeah. Man. We need a Culture Czar in
very sophisticated.
VR.
Oh, yeah.
RK and I have fought about this bitterly.
But I'm kind of digging Vibe Master, man.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right.
Maybe I'll just we'll throw in Groovy there somewhere.
Oh, the
I don't
Groovy
know,
Vibe yeah, Master.
Something like
I'll
that.
I'll work on the card right now.
So tell us a little bit. There is a concert stage here. What are the concerts like? What are these events like? We tell people all the time there's like food down here, there's beer down here, but what else?
Well, it's beer Disneyland, first of all. So, yeah, a lot of stuff goes on. We've got the, in the beer garden, we have a permanent stage out there. So, of course, on weekends, Friday, Saturday, Sundays, we usually have some kind of music going on there. And then we partner up with our good buddies over at KBCO Radio because we are the sponsors of Studio C. So we'll have some bigger shows.
Old country.
Yeah, we'll bring in a big old stage.
They do all kinds of music.
Yeah. I know. I'm totally ignoring them. Like, okay. Okay, man. Parent, you're unplugged.
I was amazed to turn and see that Adam did not have a single grass strand in his mouth when he said that.
You said that. Yeah, you said that confidently, though.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He totally did. And I just looked at him clearly. Clearly, he's no. But, yeah, and we'll put a big old stage in the dock area and bring about 3,000-4,000 folks on site this last year. You know, we've had Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats here.
That's my favorite.
Mike Malone's best friend.
Yeah, there you go.
Stolen from me, but
yeah,
I love it.
Yeah, and a lot of other bands. The list is long, but really awesome people. So, good friends of mine, Leftover Salmon, have played here before, and some bluegrass, and Cake has played here.
I have some Leftover Salmon in the fridge.
I have some Cake.
Well, it is. Yeah. Oh, there you see. It's all about food around here at the farmhouse.
But no one but the Vibe Master understands this. If you listen, what Breck Brew is all about is making awesome culture. They make delicious beverages. They have incredible concerts. They pair with unbelievable local sports
clubs. That's a great point.
Is that you guys?
That was KBCO.
Yeah, the country music station.
It's like, this is why it's like such a perfect marriage between us and Breck. Like, we understand life is supposed to be fun at some point, I'm told.
Yeah.
You're almost at the fun point, Aaron.
And it is all about partnerships and stuff like that. You're absolutely right. I like what we do, obviously, with the Denver Nuggets. Let's get to that beer, by the way. I'm not trying to push you along, but I'm a little bit thirsty.
Are you bored in the session?
I've already talked too much in between beers.
Is that what this one is?
Yeah, the lighter one we're going to try.
Right. So we know this one. We've been pushing it. We had a big party at the DNVR bar. But how did it come to be that you guys made a Denver Nuggets-themed golden ale?
You know, so it's been a little bit of a process. We've worked with the Denver Nuggets on a couple different things, partnering up on beers. And so the last couple years, we've had a copper lager. Thank you. And now we're a golden ale. So the malt bill on this is just about the same, but we've changed up the yeast. So we're going more of an ale. So you have more of the esters, fruity esters of the yeast, which gives it a little bit more depth. So it's a little bit more foreign. But don't let that scare you by any means. It's still a very poundable beer, and that's what this beer, you know, still at 5.5% alcohol and still good to drink.
Why do you guys put this so far away from me?
No, yours is in front. Those are for Brendan.
I didn't even see these bags.
Cheers, guys.
Brendan, come grab
here's,
one.
Here's to country music.
Cheers, guys.
I almost spilled on your laptop. Would
and
that
you
be
said
a
it's crushable, so we'll crush it.
You did good on that. You redeemed yourself, without a doubt.
Adam, holy smoke. Dude, yeah. Adam went Dunkin' Uncle. I went Tiger Dunk on this. So I took a little sip.
Yeah, he's got a frat party going on over here, that's all right.
All right. So I do like it. And then, of course, the can is like the coolest can that's ever existed.
The can's awesome.
And we have, I don't know if you know this, Debo, but we have people, shouts to the general, the gen, one of our first team DMVR person. She bought an entire case of these and then turned the cans into, like, art. She made a candle out of one. She made, like, all this kind of stuff.
It started as art. She just, like, loosely adapted it. It's like you took the Mona Lisa and then you put a candle inside
it. Did you hear that, Jen? I am impressed with you.
Who's
Eric?
Impressed?
Not so much.
Well, hopefully.
She just dressed up. Look at this.
I meant to wear mine this morning, actually, and I was going to impress you, but then we would have matched, but... we do have the flannel going on.
I
did listen to earlier.
So,
yeah, it's a little flannel Friday going on here at the farmhouse.
I don't see a single thing similar between the two of us.
All right, what's this one we have going on over here? This one looks a little more grapefruit.
Well, I had to pull out my notes here, and a big shout out to our brewers, Jimmy and Suzanne at the Brew Pub up in Breckenridge. They are listening. They even took a photo of them on the TV there at the brewery up in Breckenridge. And so this came down. We only have a keg of it down here. It's called Ice Cream Man. Yeah.
Damn, I feel like we're already making good progress on that keg.
Maybe there's only a half a keg now. I'm with you. Man, the aroma on it sure smells good. It's, certainly think ice cream in
it
your
does.
Head.
It does.
But I had to write this all down because Jimmy and Suzanne, it got a little science-y here, but
this is way too good.
It starts as a hazy IPA,
really,
and then with that hazy IPA, they put Strata and Triumph hops in there. This is the first I've had this, by the way.
Okay.
Added a little bit of lactose sugar, a little lactose, so you get a little bit of that sweetness. And then they dry hopped it with another hop called Idaho 7.
Wow.
See, this is why I had to write this down. I can handle the old recipes from Mesopotamia 10,000 years ago. This got a little more complicated. But
let's hear about those next.
And that was just water falling out of the sky into a bucket of grain.
Yeah, like it was an impressive
that's
thing
my
to know.
Yeah, no, it really isn't. It was a mistake. We're not done with this beer. And then they aged this beer with strawberries and vanilla beans. So it's a hazy IPA that meets ice cream, 7.2% alcohol. So it's
baby. Led with that.
Really?
Say, yeah.
Oh
mm-hmm.
my!
Yeah. I've already had one today.
In all sincerity, this beer, like some beer, it tastes like beer, but it also tastes like dessert.
Yeah.
It's the smoothest beer I think I may have ever tasted.
Pretty tasty, isn't it?
Can you only get this here at the farmhouse?
So they have some of this at the brew pub up in Breckenridge. That's where Jimmy and Suzanne brewed it. And occasionally we're able to get a few kegs down from the brew pub, and we'll have some beers from the mountain come down. So
it's amazing.
This is one of them. It's pretty tasty, isn't it?
This one's super tasty. It's probably the easiest beer I've ever drank in my life. I can't believe this has 7.5% alcohol. I would have guessed it has like 1% alcohol. Yeah. It's basically an alcohol.
By the way, Adam says that every 10th beer. He's like, the 11th beer, he's like, this is the easiest beer I've ever had in my entire life.
Can I tell you something?
It's the smoothest thing I've ever tasted.
Is he just a cheap date?
The 11th beer is always the easiest.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, take notes, pins and aces. Yeah. 7, not enough.
When you're bulletproof, yeah, exactly. 10's not enough, and 11's way too many.
Tell us real quick, are you a Denver sports fan?
Yeah, absolutely so. I'd certainly follow all Denver sports. I'm born and raised in Denver. Matter of fact, 4 generations, so pretty proud of that. But if I hung my hat on anything, I'm probably college football.
Oh, really?
And I went to the University of Colorado. So obviously there's a touch of buzz going around right now. So
a little bit.
hopefully things will be fantastic. Sorry to jump shows here, but that's kind of where my
day goes. You just Denver sports in general. So tell me, who are your all-time favorite Colorado sports athletes?
Yeah.
It could be Broncos, could be anything.
Yeah, I think I could pick just about out of every team. Certainly with the Nuggets. And that's what I love about this old packaging. You know, little Alex English, certain legendary.
He was on the show last week.
Back in the old days and at the
it's
old
Mick. Yeah, he didn't mention Mick.
No, I know. Yeah. He probably mentioned the other Tebow. But yeah. who tried to roll through town and ruin my brand. But but Alex English certainly, you know, at the old days at the McNichol Sports Arena.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And
I love that there's nostalgia for that.
I know. For that ugly old.
A lot of people have nostalgia for McNichols.
The only reason that there is now nostalgia is that because the Nuggets are good again.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
If they sucked the whole time, we'd be like, get out of our lives, you losers.
Right, that was a heap of concrete over there.
It was terrible, but now there's, because the Nuggets feel good to think about again.
Well, and yeah, I love that old, I a lot of, when I was our marketing director, a lot of our packaging I worked in, not trying to go off on a tangent, but
we love
a lot of timelessness in our packaging.
Yep.
Some people call it retro, but I call it timeless, and certainly some of these older, you know, much like we do with the Denver Broncos beer, the Broncos Country with that old logo. These are just cool logos that are legacy in this city.
I mean, you're talking to a brand designer. Like, the concept of timeless means that if you think about it, not everybody does. Just it doesn't go away.
Not familiar. It's like
things that are not timeless are like stupid fads, like pointy shoes that are cool. You're like, yeah, okay, we'll see you. Like, we'll never see you again. Things that remain.
Junior high, I was wearing corduroy bell bottoms and stuff like that. And they come back. Everything comes back.
Not as timeless as you think, right? it's cool. I love it.
But I think Breckenridge Brewery does that well in all facets. They really get branding, and that's part of why they've grown so much. The brand is so great. It's a Colorado brand, which I love because
definitely a Colorado legacy.
Colorado legacy and a success story out of Colorado. And a great little farmhouse down here that has all kinds of different things, including the ice cream. What is it again?
Ice Cream Man.
Ice Cream Man. The Ice Cream Man. You come in and say, I want to see the Ice Cream Man.
Compliments of Jimmy and Suzanne at the Brew Pub and Breck.
There you go. The type of thing you can only get here. Thank you so much, Tebow, for taking some time to talk beer with us.
Anytime, guys. I appreciate it.
All right. Wynn, take us to break. And on the other side, we're going to put some final thoughts on the 76ers-Nuggets game. We'll see you on the other side.
Guys, if you need tickets to concerts, shows, sporting events, check out the Game Time app. Game Time is the hottest new ticketing site that makes it easier than ever to score the best deals on tickets to sports, concerts, and shows. If you ever dreamed of sitting in a seat that you thought you never could, 50-yard line, courtside, behind home plate, floor seats at concert, it's all possible with the Game Time app. Use our link in the description. It's on the YouTube description. It's on the Megaphone, on Spotify, the Apple Podcast description as well. If you love DNVR, then you'll love Game Time. The best way to support us is by buying tickets through the link in our description. Join over 15 million people who have downloaded the Game Time app and score the best seats to all of your favorite events. That's with Game Time. Also, guys, Athletic Greens is a product, is something I use every day in my life. It gets me off to a great start every morning. If you want better gut health, if you want more energy, if you want an optimized immune system, check out Athletic Greens, because with one scoop of Athletic Greens, you get 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and
adaptogens
to help you start your day off right. Works for every diet, every single lifestyle. Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is go to athleticgreens.com/nuggets, athleticgreens.com/nuggets, to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
Man, does anyone else need a nap?
Yeah.
Guys feeling that creeping in?
Yeah, that's called being
daydream. If I keep drinking these, I might just be able to power through, man.
Guys,
that's how it works.
There's been a story that's dropped by my guy, Jake Fisher. I'm going to read it while you guys preview this Nuggets 76ers game. Go for it. Right. Got a little Nuggets note in here. I'm going to try to get through it so I can
When you want to take the wheel on this one?
Oh, I'm reading it?
All right, whatever.
You're talking about the 76ers Nuggets game. Honestly, here's the thing, fellas. Like, this game, every time they match up, I'm like, Yoke, you got to come through for me, man. Like, hey, man, this is a big one. Yeah. For me personally, this is like fans. Yeah. Players don't really get what it means to be a fan. And this is part of my thing about.
They do, though. They were kids and they were fans.
But I'm telling you, it gets lessened.
Oh, no, I understand. But they do know if they wanted to. They can remember.
But what I'm saying is, in moments like this, it's like, yeah, but this is why we stand. This is why we stand you so hard.
Yeah.
We do all this stuff. you've got to show the little bit of like, hey, you know it. You agree to it. And I think he does, by the way. This is like Jokic's come through for us a million times. But I'm saying tomorrow's game doesn't actually mean anything. Nuggets 76ers, they could rest the team.
It's so funny, man. Like, this is rivalry week, right? Yeah. The only reason the like Nuggets and 76ers are rivals, I feel like, is mainly because of Twitter.
It is! 100%.
Twitter made this game happen on rivalry week.
Yes.
That being said, I can't wait. Like, I cannot freaking wait for this game.
I know.
I haven't felt like this for a regular season game. I didn't feel like this for last year's Nuggets 76ers game.
Dude,
it didn't feel quite like this.
People,
this is a new level, I feel like.
People discount the weird fan thing as like, oh, that's not what this is about. That's all this is about. The sports are meaningless. They put a ball through a hoop. That doesn't mean anything. It's about the way that it makes you feel about your life. It's about the way it makes you feel about your friends. But it matters. The conversation with the 76ers, this is what it's all about. You're supposed to get emotionally wrapped up in something that doesn't mean anything, but means absolutely everything. And if Jokic doesn't come through for me, I'm going to jump into traffic. I don't care.
I think
it's over for me. You understand?
I think sports mean almost too much. You know, like,
they
do. People are like, I hate that players are load managing. Well, you made the championship the only thing that matters, right? Like, you overvalued one part of the equation and undervalued the 99% that makes it up. But this is such a perfect encapsulation of the best of the 99%. This game doesn't mean shit.
Nope.
But it means everything.
And this is why rivalries. This is why rivalries matter.
This is why they are our rivals. This is
they're not even rivals, though. Is the thing?
But they are.
But they are
on
they're
Twitter.
Our rivals. Yoke's gonna sleep like a baby tonight. Like he'll be like, "Who do we play today? We have Orlando." Like, "Oh no, I got Philly." That's
He's like not everybody's rival, but RG is my personal rival.
That's right.
Yeah. I will tell you why I feel confident. Well, one of the reasons I feel confident in this matchup and that Jokic is gonna have a great game tomorrow. Kale, if you can bring up that picture I sent you a second ago. Nikola Jokic made a pit stop on this road trip. He met up with his guy.
Tim Tetrick. I mean, wait, you mean our guy?
Yeah. You're either Tim Tetrick or you're nothing.
Yeah.
You're Team Tetrick or you're nothing.
I'm Team Tim.
Team Tetrick. Tim Tetrick.
Yo,
maybe the best
this.
Harness racer in the history of harness racing.
God.
Nikola Jokic paid him a visit. This is just what we needed ahead of tomorrow, I feel
like.
Let me ask
you a question. If you had to play a game at the YMCA tomorrow, Adam.
Yeah.
And Nikola Jokic showed up to wish you luck before that game, wouldn't be the greatest game
this
you've ever
like
played?
This is like Jokic getting
the worst passes you've ever seen
this
in
your
life.
This is like him getting blessed by the gods of harness racing before this big game.
Dude, we've seen what this looks
Jokic
like.
Jokic has watched me play basketball before.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
That's one more thing I have in common with Jokic. That's amazing. I love
you
that.
You watch me play basketball?
Why won't you shoot?
That's different.
I don't care enough to do the other one, so I'm going to count that.
Did you try to show out for Jokic?
What do you think? what do you think? Wait, hold on, Harrison. If you were to take a guess, what would your guess be on the answer to that?
I'm guessing you probably tried a Sambor shuffle.
I should have tried a Sambor shuffle.
You should have tried one and then pointed at him. Be like, yeah.
Can I? Go on.
Oh, man.
No, I can't wait for this game. Like, honestly, I can't remember the last time I was this hyped for a regular season game.
And this is what rivalries do, and it's okay for this game to matter. And here's the thing. It's not just a Twitter rivalry. It's not. And Jokic and Embiid are going to say some nice things to and about each other. Jokic already has. But what did they do the last time these two teams played? Embiid tried to win that matchup. Not
absolutely.
The matchup. He tried
to win
the MVP.
Do we want to talk about what Bone said?
Hang on, though. Embiid cares about this matchup. And this is the thing. It gets confused with, like, oh, these players are buddy-buddy. You don't have to viscerally hate each other to treat each other like rivals on the floor. You really don't. And so I actually love that this has turned into a real rivalry.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
Also, like, the best player guards best player kind of manu-a-manu thing is a dying concept in the NBA anyway.
Yeah.
So I am all for pumping up an individual rivalry and matchup from two teams from other conferences whose paths rarely cross anyway. And let's say, no, man, let's make it about the two best bigs we've seen since Shaq, depending on how you feel about Giannis.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Nuggets players care about this game.
Yes, they do.
And this matchup.
We found this out.
Probably more than Nikola Jokic. Like,
no. Equally.
I don't know if I'm there. But we know the Nuggets team cares about this because we spoke to Bones Highland for a little bit yesterday, and he was telling us about like this game and looking ahead to it, and he was like, yeah, we want to win this for Yoke. Like, we want to win this to let everybody know that he's going to win three straight MVPs. Like, we want to win this for him.
But the bigger story was he told the story last year where Bones Highland won that game for the Nuggets by going off.
Yep.
And that later on, Bones went back to his hotel room with his homies hanging out.
Because Philadelphia, very close to Wilmington, Delaware. That's like as close to a home game as
he's like hanging out with his guys. Here's a knock at the door. Goes to look, looks at the peephole, cannot see. The person on the other side is blocking the peephole.
That's like a classic. This is a classic.
If I was like, how does Jokic knock on your hotel door? I'd be like, I bet he blocks the peephole.
You don't know who it is, brother.
Opens the door. Jokic is there.
It's Nurkic.
He gives him a huge hug and says, thank you.
Yeah.
And then hangs out with his boys, takes pictures, like stuff that he would do with us, like in a weird way, but like Bones. Like, Jokic cared a lot. He made, like, a house call to say thank you and hugged him.
Just to show appreciation of, like, hey, way to step up, you know, Rook. That's really, really cool.
It's an important game. It means something.
Yeah.
So, it's definitely, there's no question about it. By the way,
they care about this one. They really do.
Too many technical difficulties on that on that interview. We'll have him back on another time here before too long. But he had some good stories to share. That one, chief among them, about,
it was so cool.
The entire team plays it down, but the entire team also knows that this is, hey, this is a big deal for the big fella.
Right.
He's always got our back. We got to have his back in this one.
Yep.
And you love to see it. I think it's great. Tomorrow, I'm nervous for it, but in the best type of way. Like, it's so great to have a team good enough to be nervous about.
Totally.
Absolutely. You know what? You know how many games Houston Rockets fans are nervous about this year? Zero. There's
zero
games.
You're like, do you think we can get to the beer line before it gets full? I'm nervous.
But tomorrow is like among the first games of the year. I don't remember the last one where I was like, man, this one means something. It means something, and I hope Jokic shows out. We always say the more he plays against a guy, the more he figures a guy out. He hasn't played against Embiid that much.
True.
Played against him like five times in his whole career. I'm excited for the game. I think it's going to be a big narrative builder, and not just a narrative builder. It is a huge test for the Denver Nuggets, maybe the single biggest one of the entire year, that it's like, hey, that's one of the top teams in the East. Let's show up.
Sorry, do you see that comment?
What'd it say?
When is the Buffs podcast going to start?
Well, it's because we're late, because, again, Kale.
Everything's
so
Kale's.
Hit that outro music. Let's get out of here. Oh, there is no outro music. All right, everybody, thank you so much for hanging with us the entire time.
See you tomorrow, bright and early.
Be sure to come check out the Breck Farmhouse. It's just like, if you don't know about it, place to have dinner, place to have some beers. It's a really cool hangout.
You can order off the menu, too.
You can order off the menu. Making fun of me for being freaking awesome. I'm sorry, I'm awesome. But also, like, during the summer, they have all kinds of events. It's a really cool campus they have here. Lots of cool stuff. We appreciate them. Hit the like button on the way out. We'll see you guys later.
Let's go.
Scoop.